I invite you now to once again take out your stones. Let us pray. God of mercy, forgiveness, redemption, seek us when we are lost. Run to us when we are still far off. Embrace us in our brokenness. In a world where it's easier to hold a grudge, inspire us to love the unlovable, to see hope and joy in the midst of darkness and despair. We ask this and all things in the strong name of our brother, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we all know this story pretty well, right? The prodigal story. A son asks his father for his inheritance, goes to a far-off country, loses it, takes up work on a pig farm. The worst thing that a Jewish person could be doing, working on a pig farm. Eventually, he comes to himself. He realizes that even his father's servants were living better lives than he was. So he sets out for home to admit the wrong that he has done. But while the son was still far off, the father saw him, ran out to him, embraced him, and gave him a ring, a robe, and sandals. He then throws a party to celebrate his son's return. The only one absent? The older brother. But not because he wasn't invited. He was just so busy working on the farm. When he does hear that there's a party, because he hears the party, he's angry. And he doesn't take part in the celebration. He even goes so far as to question his father about so quickly embracing this son of his. With so many different elements, with so much going on in this story, it's hard for us to be sure of what we're even supposed to be hearing. What is Jesus trying to teach us here? Is it a cautionary tale about wastefulness? Is it an encouraging story about the forgiveness of God? Is he teaching us about pride? Is Christ asking us to place ourselves in the shoes of the younger son, the father, or the older brother, the older son? And why did we decide to tack on the word prodigal to this parable? Maybe that's a good place to start. For a word that's so closely tied to this story, the word prodigal is actually pretty flexible. When we think of the prodigal son, we think of prodigal as meaning that the son was wasteful or that he spent recklessly. We often jump to putting ourselves in the shoes of this character. We openly admit that humanity often squanders the gifts that God gives us in life. And so to know that God is waiting for us, watching for us even, running out to embrace us and forgive us. That's a comforting story. We want to hear that story. No matter how much we do wrong, God loves us. And really, there isn't anything wrong with that interpretation. And we should feel as though we can always turn to God, that God will always welcome us home, no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, or how far we've roamed. Bless you. It's also pretty easy to jump into that part of the story. It's just between me and God. We don't have to involve anyone else, and really, any transgression we've made is against God, and God keeps it just between us. Sure, we might have deep moments of inner clarity or confession about who we are and what we've done, but what about spreading that message, that good news of God's redeeming love? Now, we say that this younger son is a prodigal because he spends wastefully and recklessly. But what about the father in this story? I don't mean the way that he divides up his property and gives it to his younger son, knowing full well, probably, that it wouldn't last very long. No, I'm talking about the abundant, the lavish way that he pours out his forgiveness and love on this wayward son. Faster than his son can spend his portion of the estate, the father welcomes him back. No questions asked, no conditions on return. Talk about reckless. That's reckless. But just as often as this story is called the prodigal son, it is also called the prodigal father because of the unthinkable, the unreasonable, the unmatchable way that the father loves his son, forgives his son, welcomes and celebrates the return of his son. Again, this sounds like a comforting take on how God loves us no matter what. But it's also about how we are called to respond to those who have broken our trust. I talked about forgiveness a little bit over a month ago. And this parable captures that unlimited, unconditional love perfectly, because not only does the father forgive, but he embraces and welcomes his son back into his life. It's not just, I forgive you, now go away. It's, I forgive you, now get over here. Could we do the same? Even if we could do the same, would we want to? Another reason why this forgiveness is a good model for us is because it reminds us that just because we forgive doesn't mean we fall back into those same old patterns. The father may have forgiven his wayward son, but he's no longer entitled to any more inheritance than he's already received. So even with that addition, that caveat for forgiveness, can we forgive as the father forgives in this story? Maybe. That one's a little harder. It requires a lot of us. It's asking us to take that knife out of our back, to throw it away, and to embrace the one who wronged us, who betrayed us. This forces us to stretch ourselves outside of what makes us comfortable. Because you know what's easy? You know what's simple? Holding a grudge. Letting it fester. To lord it over the one who did us wrong. That's easy. And then there's that older brother. The one who was working his father's farm, who returned and discovered what was going on, and rather than celebrating the return of his brother, he was angry. Now, we hope to be the younger brother, undeserving but receiving the unlimited love of God. And we strive to be like the Father, forgiving unconditionally, celebrating the gift of the present and forgetting the wrongs of the past. Let's be honest with one another. Just this once, let's be honest with one another. And if we can't be honest with one another, let's be honest with ourselves. Of these three characters, who do we most identify with? For the people who are hearing this story for the first time, their anger would have been as white hot as that older brother. To the father, they would have said much the same that the older brother did. How dare you take this son of yours back? How dare this son of yours ask for this inheritance in the first place? How dare you embrace this son of yours who betrayed you so? How dare you, Father, pour out the gift of forgiveness on this son of yours, this one who is so undeserving? This son of yours, he says. The older brother is so incensed by what has happened, he can't even call him brother. He can't even acknowledge that this returned son is his brother, and so he is this son of yours. And that's what society would have done. They would have shunned the younger son, even stoned him for the way that he disrespected his father. You know what? We're like that sometimes too. Deep down in the places that we aren't proud of, some days we're more like the older brother, the older son, than we are the younger son. More than we're like the father. We're angry at the way those who are as undeserving seem to get everything. This son of yours. Think how hurt the older brother must have been, not just at his younger brother, but by the embrace that his father gave him. How hurt is this man to disown his own brother? This is the part that the people of Jesus' day needed to hear, because God isn't calling people to live lives of retribution, but lives of redemption. Prodigal. More than a reckless spender, or someone who gives of themselves abundantly. More than those two things, we tie the word prodigal to one who was lost and is found. Who is lost in this story, if not the older brother? Lost in his anger, lost in his jealousy, lost in his unforgiveness. But just as the father embraces the son who he thought was dead, so too does he embrace the one who has been there all along, but lost in his own judgments. Part of our struggle as Christians, bearers of the good news, is that we see the model of Christ, and we often use it as a measuring stick for others. And boy, do we find people wanting. But that's not the point. Just as Christ loves and forgives those that he meets, just as the Father loves and forgives that Son of his, so too are we called to offer that same unconditional love and forgiveness to a world that we, like the older brother, have judged as unworthy. Because it's not ours to judge. And it's not ours to fill our pockets with the stones of grudges and anger. Our task is simple, and yet it is monumental. To seek the lost, to embrace them in their brokenness, and to celebrate the love of God that we are all gifted with. We are all prodigal. We are the spendthrift younger children. We are the judgmental older brother, the older sibling. Let us also be the forgiving, the loving, the celebrating parents. And as our greeting hymn that we sang together reminds us, love is forgiving when we stray. Love is affirming when we stay. Amen. Once again, let us turn our hearts and voices as we offer to God the gift of our praise by singing Voices United, number 112, O God, how we have wandered, number 112 in Voices United.